I have to say this. I know he's not in here, but I am so glad that that happened the way it is, because that made me feel so much better, because it wasn't me. When Chad had that happen, because most of the time it's me saying something wrong and you guys laughing at me, so it was really nice to see somebody that happened to somebody else today. But today, there is one particular sermon that most pastors hate to preach on. And I am no different. That topic is tithing. So this sermon today is going to be a little bit different. I'm not going to preach about tithing. I'm preaching about exactly what it says on the screen right now, matters of the heart. So I want you to pay close attention to the points in this sermon, because it's very important that we understand about why we give and how we give. It's not because somebody's sitting here telling you, you need to give. I am not going to do that. I don't want to know if you give or not. Honestly, that's between you and God. But I want us to understand why we give. And it is very much so a matter of the heart. So if you'd please turn to Exodus chapter 35, verses 22, or 21 and 22, and stand as we read this. Now, before we read this, I want to give you a little bit of background. Moses had just now come down off of Mount Sinai. God had given him all the instructions on how to build the tabernacle. Now, these people, the Jewish nation, the nation of Israel, were not, as most would consider, wealthy. They were not well off. They were not rich. In fact, what were they? They were just slaves that had been freed. So understand that. Okay? That's who Moses is talking to. That is who God is having him lead out of Egypt, out of slavery. And now it's come to the point where they're starting to build the tent of meetings. So in verse 21, this is what it says. Well, I'll go ahead and start in verse 20 and then go down to 21. Then all the congregation of the sons of Israel departed from Moses' presence. And everyone whose heart stirred him and everyone whose spirit moved him came and brought the Lord's contribution for the work of the tent of meetings and for all of its services and for the holy garments. Then all whose hearts moved them, both men and women, came and brought brooches and earrings and signet rings and bracelets, all articles of gold. So did every man who presented an offering of gold to the Lord. Let's pray. Our blessed Heavenly Father, I ask you right now to bless the reading of your word. Speak through me today, dear Lord, as we talk about matters of the heart. And it's in your holy and precious name of Jesus Christ, our Savior, we pray. Amen. First thing I want us to look at is why we should give. And again, look at this verse. Everyone whose heart stirred him and everyone whose spirit moved him came and brought the Lord's contribution for the work of the tent of meetings and for all its services and for the holy garments. Then all whose heart moved them, both men and women, came and brought brooches and earrings and signet rings and bracelets, all articles of gold. So did every man who presented an offering of gold to the Lord. The first thing that we have to understand about why we give is we give because of a willing heart. That it says that right at the beginning. Everyone whose heart stirred him, everyone whose spirit moved him. The idea of the freedom that we have and the lack of coercion is repeated and emphasized. Now, this is one thing we have to understand. that as Moses was preaching or telling the people what God had said and what he told them they needed, not one time did he tell them, you have to do this. Not one time did he give them a guilt trip about not giving. Not one time did he set up a program to try to raise money to build this tent. There was no coercion. There was no guilt trip. He just told them what they needed. Okay? That is the second point. We give because there is a need. Just like the children of Israel, their hearts were willing, but even a willing heart needs to be told what's needed, when it's needed, how much is needed. A lot of times we don't know there's a need, so we don't do anything about it, right? But here's one thing. Yesterday was a perfect example. We knew that there was a need. Nobody made anybody give anything. But we pulled together to help meet a need that was there. We have paid off our loan. We are now officially debt-free. Why? Because people gave because there was a need. The children of Israel here pulled together and gave offerings to God for the building of the tabernacle. They knew the need. Moses very clearly told them what the need was, what they needed to do to meet that need. But this last point here is the one that's very important. They gave to the Lord. A lot of times we think that when it comes time for offering or that we're giving something, that we're giving it to the preacher or we're giving it to the church. That is not the case. You are giving it to God. The church as a whole then takes it and does what God has asked them to do with it. Let me put it this way. God has certain things that he wants us to do. Number one being he wants us to spread his gospel. In doing so, there are certain things that we have to be able to do. We have to print stuff. We have to be able to go. We have to do education. We have to take care of our building and everything like that. But all of that is because of the main purpose of the church, and that is to make more disciples. Do we have to have an illustrious building to be able to make more disciples? No. In fact, some of the fastest growing churches that are gaining more and more people over to the cause of Christ meet on a dirt floor. But we have to give to God. Yes, I get a paycheck every week. Yes, that is paid out of the tithes and offerings of the church. But other than cashing that check, I have nothing to do whatsoever with the money that comes in. I don't want anything to do with it. You are not giving it to me. You're actually not giving it to the church, even though the church gives it or uses it. You are giving to God, and then God holds us accountable for what we do with it. But ultimately, it is to God. Then the second thing is, how should we give? For that, I want you to flip over to 2 Corinthians. We're going to look what Paul says about this in this book. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Verses 6 and 7. And this is what it says. Now this I say, he who sows sparingly shall also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully shall also reap bountifully. Let each one do just as he has purposed in his heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. The first thing that we see here of how we're supposed to give is we're supposed to give bountifully. What does that mean? It means that we are to give of what we have. If we have a lot, we give a lot. If we don't have a lot, we give of what we have. One thing out of Exodus where they were collecting things, God, not everybody was able to give the gold rings and the gold signets and the bracelets and everything. Not everybody was able to give that. But God also needed other things. He needed goat hair. He needed linen. He needed all kinds of things to build wood, to build the tabernacle. And so if they had that, they gave that. Most of them were farmers. They had goats. They butchered the goats for meat. They could then give the skins to God to use in the building of the tabernacle. But one thing I want you to notice this, is that verse 7, it says, each one must do just as he has purposed in his heart. What does that say? That every Christian, each one of us, should be a giver. The second thing is an example of what he's talking about giving bountifully and about the farmer or about those who sow. You imagine you got a barn full of seeds and it comes planting time. Well, you're worried about making sure you have enough seed to get you through, so you only plant a little bit of seed and you keep the rest of it stored up in your barn. When it comes time for harvest, what's going to happen? Are you going to have a huge harvest? Honestly, no. You're going to get what you plant. But if a farmer goes out and he takes all of his seed and he plants all of it, and harvest comes time, and he goes out and harvests the seed that he plants, and harvests the product of what he planted, is he going to have a bountiful harvest? Yes. What we give is reflected in what we get in return. Okay, understand that. And then the second thing on how we should give is we should give with the right attitude. Giving should not be motivated by the purpose, or it should be motivated by the purpose of your own heart. And we're going to dwell on this a little bit. It should never be coerced or manipulated. We should give because we want to give, because God has put it in our heart to give. We should give because we want to, not because we are guilt tripped into it, not because we're manipulated, not because we are thinking or we are being told that if you give so much, God will return it to you tenfold. We give because that is in our heart. God has given us that desire because of the changes that he's made in our heart to give back to him. Basically be said like this, that the sense that our giving reveals the purposes in our own heart. It reveals where our heart lies. In other words, say that if I like hunting, which I do, okay, I like going out. I don't get to do it much anymore at all, but I've got a closet full of camos and all kinds of stuff. Got all kinds of stuff. But if I went out and I spent all my money on buying things to go hunting with, and it didn't leave me anything to give back to God, what would that tell you that the most important thing in my life is? Hunting. Jesus says it this way in Matthew. He says, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. We give to what we see as being important. We give our time to what we see as important. And church, I'm going to go ahead and throw this in there while I'm at it. A lot of times, I know as a youth pastor, I would get parents come talk to me, asking me to talk to their kid because their as their child got older, they couldn't do anything with them. Your child sees what's important to you. And if you keep them out of church to go play ball, what you are telling them, if you mean to or not, what you are telling them is that ball is more important than God. They see what you spend your money on. They know what is important to you. What we spend our time and energy and money on is what is important to us. And our giving reflects that. God does not want us to give grudgingly. That means reluctantly, regretfully, and giving with plenty of complaining. Oh, it's time to give money again. I can't believe that preacher's asking for money again. That's what it's grudgingly. God doesn't want that. He doesn't want us to give under compulsion. That is to say that giving because someone has made us or manipulated us into giving. You know, a lot of times, and even with some of the videos that we see, sometimes they what do you think about this? When you watch the commercials and you have something like for the SPCA or some other, the Children's International or whatever it is that they're trying to raise money, how do they go about doing that? They show you dogs in cages that have been mistreated, don't they? They show you little children that are starving, and those are realities. But the whole purpose in what they're doing is they're trying to pull at your heartstrings. They're trying to get you to give money. And they're using the saddest things that they can show to get you to give money. God doesn't want you to give because you feel that you are being made to. He doesn't want you to give with the wrong attitude. He doesn't want to give you because you've been manipulated to give. He wants you to give because you want to give it to Him. Instead of giving in grudgingly or being compelled to give, He wants us to give cheerfully. And it says that in verse 7, that God loves a cheerful giver. The Greek word for cheerfully is hilaros. And what that sounds like is exactly what the word in English is. That's where we get our word hilarious. And let's think about something. When you think something is hilarious, how do you act? If something is hilarious, You what? You break out laughing. You're joyful. I mean, it puts a smile on your face. Have you ever seen something that was hilarious and you tried not to smile? Your lip starts quivering, and before you know it, you have to laugh. Sort of like when God told Abraham and Sarah that they were going to have a son, and Sarah thought she was too old, and the promise hadn't been fulfilled yet. But then when it finally was fulfilled, what did she do? She busted out laughing. And they called him laughter. That hilariousness, that is what the way God wants us to give. He wants us to give, wants us to give cheerfully, because that's the way God gives to us. Did Jesus go to the cross grudgingly? Did he go because he was manipulated into going? In fact, he even told God in the Garden of Gethsemane when he was praying, he said, I don't want to do this. If there's any way that we can do this another way, please do it. But then he doesn't leave it there. He says, not my will, but yours be done. And he went with them as a lamb led to slaughter. Even when Peter picked up his sword and he cut the high priest's servant's ear off, what did Jesus do? He didn't say, "Hut serves you right trying to do this to me." Is that what Jesus did? No. Jesus bent down, picked it up. The man that was there to take him to be crucified picked it up and put it back on his head and healed him. At any point during that whole trial, he could have called 10,000 angels to come and surround him and protect him. He could have walked through the midst of them like he'd done it before. He had walked right through the midst of them, and they didn't know where he went. He could have done that, but he didn't. The Bible says that even before time began, he had a plan of redemption for us. God did not withhold anything from us. His most precious thing that he had, his own son, he gave to us. Now, church, I want you to see this one last verse. Matthew chapter 22, verse 36 and 37. Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? And he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. Church, I don't want you to give because I'm asking you to give. I don't want you to give because you feel guilty if you don't. I want you to give because God laid it upon your heart. I want you to give because your heart is right with God. And I want you to give because you love God with your whole heart. Not because somebody's asking you to do it. I don't like asking people for money. I don't. But church, there is needs. There are things that we have to do to upkeep this building. There are things that we have to do that we are not getting, aren't being able to do. But I believe with every ounce of my being, God has given us everything that we need to have to be able to do what he's asked us to do. I believe that with my whole heart. And all I'm asking you guys is to do it, get a heart checkup. Because whether we do or we don't, It is all a heart issue. It's a matter of the heart and where our heart is and what is important to us. That's all I'm asking you to do, is follow God's leading. Follow the leading of the Spirit. Now we've come to a time in our service where you get a chance to do just that. This is a chance for you to do business with God. If you don't know where your heart lies, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, this is the opportunity to take care of that. I would love to introduce you to Him. There are several people in the church that would love to be able to introduce you to Jesus Christ, and you leave knowing Him in a very personal way. This is your chance to take care of that. If you feel that this is where you need to be, that you want to join together with our fellowship, this is your chance to come forward and take care of that today. If you need to go talk to somebody else, ask for forgiveness or give forgiveness, this is your opportunity to do that. If you need to come talk or you need to come pray, this is the time for you to do that as we stand and sing.
Would you stand as we sing our hymn of invitation, number 283, Take My Life and Let It Be Consecrated, 283.